My name is Brooke Coleman. I represent the Advanced Ethanol Council, and I want to talk about a couple of things. We have a number of companies that are going to talk about the specifics with regard to how this rule, proposed rule, puts us in. It's a very difficult position at sort of the granular level. First, I want to thank you to date for your administration of the RFS. I think you've got the right balance before this proposal between driving the marketplace and reacting to very real market signals. Obviously, we feel that the new proposal, we are off track, and we've recalled far too much. We will engage specifically with regard to data on a number of key points, including 17 million gallons for cellulosic. It's the right ballpark, but I think we can work on a plus up there with based on real gallons. We think your E85 data is woefully pessimistic, and to the degree that this rule is going to reflect that type of thing, we really need to get that data updated. But with regard to the big picture, it's much more important, because the 17 million gallons does not insulate us from the other decisions that have apparently been made in this proposal. And that's because the RIN programs are all nested together, and the signals that come out from the RFS are also nested together. And so for our investors, the bottom line is for our investors to believe in this program and to sort of stay out of social media and real estate and actually want to enter into this marketplace, they have to believe in RINs. That's the game changer. And the reason that's true is not because there's this free market and this price-driven marketplace and we should be able to exist on our own and RINs just give us a leg up. That's all not true. So some of the things we heard to my right, that's that we don't live in a world where we have a free market and a competitive market. We live in a world where our investors are modeling 2015, and they know that if they make a prediction about June 2015, that OPEC can sit down in May 2015 and fundamentally change that model via collusive activity. And so the solution to that is we can either break up OPEC, which is sort of challenging. We can break up some of the consolidation that goes on in this country with regard to the oil industry, which we've done once a long time ago, but is also not part of the RFS. Or we can have this RIN program. And what the RIN program does is it forces the Exxons of this world who ignore market signals and do not buy our fuel based on price to buy a RIN. And when they buy a RIN and all their friends in the market buy RINs, RIN prices go up, and that encourages the non-Exxons of this world to buy ethanol, use the RIN, and sell it to the non-complying entity. It's not a cost of compliance. It's the non-complying entity that's forced to buy a RIN. It's a major, major leveling for the playing field, because it puts the Cumberland Farms and the Gulfs of this world on equal footing with Exxon, and they actually are rewarded for complying with the rule. Now, it doesn't matter whether you believe in that system for a D6 RIN, a D5 RIN, a D4 RIN, or a D3 RIN. Our investors have to know that that's how it's going to go. And the EPA is not going to run away from high RIN prices, and the White House is not going to pretend that high RIN prices increase gas prices. And if we don't, then our investors are not stupid enough to invest against the power of Exxon and the power of OPEC. And our biggest issue with this proposal, and I see 40 seconds, so you don't stop me. I'll stop on time, I swear. The biggest issue we have with regard to this proposal is it depressurizes the RIN program to an extraordinary degree, to a degree to which our investors are no longer going to say, we're going to drive change, because we don't know if there's going to be offtake. And so we have got to move those numbers up significantly, not unreasonably, but significantly, to put the pressure back in the program, or the advanced biofuels industry is going to have a very, very, very difficult time surviving.